Today we're supposed to read about the, or talk about the holy name, glorify the holy name. I'm going to read from the Nectar of Instruction, text number 8. Ta nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Ta nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja.
Tishtan vraje tad anuragi jananugami.
Tishtan vraje tad anuragi jananugami.
Kalam nayat akilam iti pudesha saram.
Kalam nayat akilam iti pudesha saram.
Tat
of Lord Krishna.
Nama, the holy name. Rupa, form. Charita Adi, character, pastimes, and so on. Sukirtana, in discussing or chanting nicely. Anusmrityo, and in remembering. Kramena, gradually. Rasana, the tongue. Manasi, in one's mind. Niyoja, engaging. Tishtan, residing. Vraje, in Braj. Tat, to Lord Krishna. Anuragi, attached. Jana, persons. Anugami, following. Kalam, time. Nayat, should utilize. Akilam, full. Iti, thus. Upadesha, of advice or instruction. The saram, the essence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's Divine Name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to His devotional service. Purport. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. So now we know what our movement is meant for. It's meant for training our mind. To be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives in the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:6, it is said, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajantyantikalevaram, tam tam evaiti konteya, sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of the death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasada. Sri Rupa Goswami further advises, Tishtan Vraje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One krosha equals 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna smaram janam chasya prajtam nija samihitam tat tat kata ratas chaso koryat vasam vrajay sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Braj and should always engage in Krishna smaram janam chasya prajtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Sri Rupa Goswami states in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sevaka Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi Tadbhava Lipsanakarya Raja Loka Anusarataha. In the transcendental realm of Braj, Brajadam, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates, and which should place himself under the guidance, direct guidance, of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the state of sadhana, spiritual practices, executed while in the state of bondage, and in the state of sadhya, God realization, when one is a siddha purusha, or a spiritually perfect soul. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regular principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes, and so on. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasha, the state of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain to the state of acceptance called Varna Dasha. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Vasta, the state of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the 5 items that progress as Krishna Smarana. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. After smarana dasha or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relation with Krishna. That is called sampati dasha, the perfection of life. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulated devotional service to the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so on. When he has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regular principles. This state is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service and spontaneous love. just as a note, in case we don't get back there. Without following the regular principles doesn't mean that the devotee starts breaking the four regular principles. No, it means the regular principles, even without hearing and chanting, one still spontaneously remembers Krishna. That's what it means by regular principles. One follows all the regular principles. But even without strictly following, hearing and chanting, still one is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That stage, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantarasa when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows or stick, or the stick or flute and the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around Krishna's neck. And the Dasa Rasa, one follows in footsteps of servants like Chitrika, Patrika, or Rataka. In the friendly Sakya Rasa, one can become a friend like Baladev, Shridama, or Sudama. And the Vatsalya Rasa, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nana Maharaj and Jasoda. In the Madhurya Rasa, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Srimati Radharani or her lady friends such as Lalita and her serving maids, Manjaris like Rupa and Rati. That this is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. Tanama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasini Oja Tishtan Raje Tarana Anuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayat Akilam Itipadesha Saram. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Maham Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Kauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Satarane. There are different elements to becoming completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and those, some of those elements are mentioned here, such as engaging the tongue and the mind in service, and living in Braj, and surrendering to the devotee. Who is completely attached to Krishna's service. And here it mentions Prabhupada in the purport, at the very beginning, the mind. Yoga is centered around engaging the mind. Because the material world exists as a mental conception. And we have many mental conceptions that we've acquired since time immemorial due to our separation from Krishna. As soon as we think ourselves somehow or another separate from Krishna, then Krishna has provided Maya to allow us to experience something that we think is separate from Krishna. In other words, as soon as we want to feel ourselves separated from Krishna, or forget Krishna, then the result is that Krishna provides an atmosphere where we actually forget Krishna. Therefore, the mind has been trained since time immemorial, more or less, to forget Krishna, and to engage in seemingly activities separate from Krishna. But whatever we think of at the time of death, we'll get a body. As long as we're acting and thinking separately from Krishna, then we're sure to get some kind of body. Of course, for the devotees, it may not be so bad. Krishna promises that if you're engaged in devotional service or some kind of yoga practice, then you can go to the heavenly planets. As what they call the booby prize. means it's not a really big prize, although some people may think it is, because you're only there for a very short period of time and then you have to come back and start all over again. And if one is engaged for a longer period of time, ataiva yogina eva, kule bhavati dimatam, etari duralabhataram, loke janma yad idrisham, then one is given another opportunity to take birth in a family of transcendentalists to take up the process again. But we have to understand what the process is. The process is, somehow or another, to put the mind upon Krishna. Now, of course, if we just sit here and we try and think about Krishna, that would be very nice if we could do it. If suddenly we saw Krishna holding a flute, or one of my favorite pictures is Krishna sitting by the bank of the Jamuna, and has his yellow dhoti and his kandamba flowers. He's sewing a garland for Srimati Radharani. And then we can see he has a white garland on, and a peacock feather, and blackish skin. And the Yamuna has different types of pink lotus flowers, and a swan. And Srimati Radharani has a white dress, and she's approaching Krishna. And she has a red choli on, and she has red, yellow, and blue flowers in her hair. And she has a braid, and she has a blue and red ribbon tied at the end of the braid. So we can go on, and in this way, at least temporarily, we might start thinking about Krishna and his different. In the Nectar of Devotion, it says that Krishna glanced very sweetly over Srimati Radharani. That's the caption for the picture. But that's, so we can think like that and meditate like that, but it may not last the whole day. Of course, it would be nice if it could last the whole day. But it probably won't last the whole day. So how to come to the platform where we can actually think about Krishna the whole day? So that's the process of, as Prabhupada says, that's what the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for, to train our minds so that we can think of Krishna the whole day like that. So everything that Srila Prabhupada has given us is specifically meant for that. One thing I noticed about Srila Prabhupada, as soon as I met him, and anyone could look at Prabhupada's pictures and confirm it, because I saw that Prabhupada is always in meditation, always thinking about Krishna. And that was quite noticeable if you were personally associating with Prabhupada, or if you just see Prabhupada's pictures, just like our other acharyas. They're deeply meditating upon Krishna. And they give us instructions how we can, with any stage of life, gradually come to that platform of meditating on Krishna. So this is Rupa Goswami's essence of his all advice, Anusmriti, he mentions, which is later on explained in the verse as one of the stages of Smaranam. Then there is Dharana, Dhyana, Anusmriti, and Samadhi. So Anu, continuous remembrance, is the state of asakti, when one cannot even forget Krishna, even if one wants to forget Krishna. Just like the gopis, they were complaining that this rascal Krishna, he left us here lamenting, and he's probably in Mathura enjoying with all the society girls there, and he's probably forgotten us, the rascal. So we should also try and forget him. But the problem is that it doesn't really matter to Krishna whether he forgets us, but it matters a lot if we forget him to us. We can't forget him. So the devotees, they were trying to forget him, but they couldn't do it. So just imagine their position. The same Krishna, as it says in Nectar Devotion, that the yogis are constantly, for thousands of births, trying to fix their minds upon. The gopis, they were trying to forget about. They couldn't do it. Therefore, our business is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanuta Dhamma Vrindaranam Ramna Kinchit Vrajavadu Vargena Valkalpitaha. That there's no better method of worshipping Krishna than that which is conceived by the gopis. And here it mentions that therefore we should live in Vrindavan. But of course, as later on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, or a very important aspect here is Sevaka Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrihi Tad Bhavana Lipsana Karya Raja Loka Nusarataha. That Seva Sadaka Rupena. So Sadaka, this is a state of practice, but this is not an ordinary state of practice. This is a state of bhava, sadhaka. One is considered a sadhaka when one is on the stage of bhava. And siddha means one is on the stage of prema. So whether one is on the stage of bhava or on the stage of prema, the process is described here as similar. That is, we should live in Vrindavan. Prabhupada translates here. To serve the Supreme Lord with a feeling similar to that of his associate. So we have to associate with Krishna's devotees. And at the same time, live in Vrindavan under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and follow in his footsteps. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he as a sadhaka, which is not that he was an ordinary devotee, as a sadhaka and the one on the stage of bhava, then he showed us the platform of how to perform devotional service externally. And as the state of siddha, he's Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he sings Rupa Manjari Pada. That we are Rupa Nugas, so externally, and we shouldn't think externally, we shouldn't think externally means material. It means how we act visibly, spiritually. What is the process of acting visibly, spiritually? The Sahajiyas, they think acting visibly, spiritually is to put on a sari. If you're supposed to be practicing as a manjari, then they put on a sari and a nose ring. They make their voice a little higher and they think they become gopis. They're practicing becoming a gopi. As I mentioned, I knew one devotee who learned that from his Babaji guru that his rasa was that of a peacock. So externally he thought he should act like a peacock. So if you went to his Bhajan Kutira in Mayapur, you see that he's always moving his neck like a peacock and he's going, "Ooh." Like a cat. Meow, meow. So he thought that was the method of practicing how to establish his relation with Krishna and Vrindavan. I mean, I'm sure if he practiced long enough, he probably would become a peacock. But maybe not in Vrindavan. Maybe not the peacock that he was imagining he'd become. Therefore, externally, we should follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premam Ritambo Nidhi Dira Dira Priya Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Niramasaro Pujito Bande Rupa Shri Chaitanya Maha Bhavo Kripa Varo Bhuvi Bhuvo Vara Vahantarako Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. So the first thing that is mentioned about the six Goswamis in that prayer is that they just absorbed in Harinam Sankirtan. And because they were so much ecstatic, they saw even the Dira or the Adira, they were friendly to everyone. That's their external feature as a sadhaka. So similarly, that is our business, is by practicing Harinam Sankirtan and the other activities also, to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's the example that they showed us. And that one should give up all material motives. One who has not developed an interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regular principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes, and so on. In other words, our business is to see if we're training our minds or not. That is what the free will of the soul is. He can deal with his mind. Of course, how we deal with our mind is recommended by principally by kirtan. Not to become attached or averse, but to become Krishna conscious. Sometimes we think training the mind means whatever thought comes to my mind, I immediately should grab it and wrestle with it for a few hours. That's how I train the mind. No, that's how the mind has been dealing with us. That's how the mind has trained us since time immemorial. But if we want to train the mind, it's the process is a little different than what we're used to. It means that we have to use our intelligence. And the first thing of using the intelligence is not to take the mind so seriously. Therefore, at the end of the second chapter, Apurima of the Bhagavad Gita, Apurima namachala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve se shantim apnoti nakama kami. That a person who's, how is that the first word of that? You know, the paraphrase of the verses. Apurima namachala pratishtam. That a person who's the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled. I guess it's a person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, desires are going to be there. They're always entering to our mind. But if we're Krishna conscious, then we won't be disturbed by them. And if we're not Krishna conscious, we will be disturbed by them. Therefore, the only remedy for disturbance by the mind is to become Krishna conscious. Now, if we're disturbed by the mind, we shouldn't think, well, I'm a failure, I can't become Krishna conscious because my mind is disturbed. No, that's the best time to take shelter of Krishna, is when we realize that our mind is disturbed. People in the material world, generally speaking, they think that they're making progress the more their mind is disturbed. Because after a while, when people get older, they realize it's not so good. Therefore, they have so many books on how to become free from anxiety, how to meditate, etc. But generally, the Prabhupada says these processes, especially in Kali Yuga, generally are perceived as wind up as failures. But this process is how to get a higher taste, how to think about Krishna, principally by, first of all, hearing about Krishna. Hearing that there is a Krishna, how he's in the heart, how he's moving the universe, how he's in Vrindavan. Hear all about Krishna and all his different aspects, and then be able to see Krishna practically in everyday life. In other words, the first job of a sadhaka is to hear about Krishna and then try to arrange one's life in such a way is that it's dedicated to Krishna. To make the atmosphere just like Vrindavan. Vrindavan means a place where everything is dedicated to please Krishna. So similarly, the more one arranges one's life in such a way as to please Krishna, then the more the atmosphere becomes just like Vrindavan. So by hearing about Krishna, then we arrange our life in such a way is that we can do our activities in relationship to Krishna, and this will help us remember Krishna. It's probably just a very simple formula that if we want to become Madhparha devotees, then we should think that I have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So this is a big stage of development in the conditioned soul's life, to think that I have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness. So we have to act, and we have to act in consciousness of Krishna, and the idea is that we have to try and satisfy Krishna. And what will be the result? Then Prabhupada says that one should think that I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to satisfy him. Then one will naturally think of Krishna. So our process is not to sit down and meditate. Of course, we do have our meditation, but that meditation, here it says, is by using the tongue. It's also an active meditation. By chanting Hare Krishna. We don't take that as some kind of inferior duty. Haridas Thakura, that Namacharya Haridas Thakura, he wasn't, you know, making a lot of money on the stock market. He didn't break any Olympic records. He didn't become a famous movie star. People weren't, you know, all around him asking for his autograph. But we take it, what he was doing is that something more significant, because he was utilizing his tongue and perfectly vibrating the name of Krishna. So much so, he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that even Maya herself came to Haridas Thakur to allure him, and he initiated Mayadev into chanting so many rounds a day. Instead of becoming affected by Maya, he converted Maya into a devotee. So that's quite a lot of potency. Therefore, utilizing the tongue to chant Hare Krishna very nicely, of course, we are trying to, as Prabhupada said, utilizing the tongue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So for the conditioned soul, the neophyte devotee, then this seems like a very hard labor. Why am I wasting so much time trying to pronounce the name of Krishna? Because I get the same effect whether I chant the name of Krishna very nicely or very carefully, or if I don't chant it so carefully, somehow or another I get my rounds done. And the effect is the same, practically nothing. Therefore we think, why bother so much, you know, it's kind of hard to move your, you know, to concentrate so much, move your tongue like that, and pronounce the words. And so why emphasize? Of course, unless we understand what the holy, unless we have faith in the holy name, and faith in the holy name doesn't mean blind faith in the holy name, unless we gain some experience that if I actually chant to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani, and ask them when I'm to chant in such a way as that I'm asking them to engage me in their loving service. Unless I try to change my consciousness, make a little effort to be at least receptive to change my consciousness, because ultimately they're the ones who are going to change my consciousness. By if they reveal themselves to me or to us, then by their association, then our consciousness will actually change. We ourselves, we may be able to change our consciousness a little bit, but they can change our consciousness a whole lot. Just like in the, what's called, Bhakti Shakti. When the devotee, the Madhyam Adhikari preacher, wants to save someone, then Krishna, they have a little desire. So that loving desire is essentially the method by which the person gets saved. But not quite. Actually, because the devotee has some desire to save the person, therefore Krishna's desire follows the devotee's desire, and Krishna gives the devotee all kinds of shakti to deliver the person. So that without the devotee desiring like that, then the devotee, of course, is not a devotee, or he's a neophyte devotee, or they're a materialist. The materialist never thinks, let me deliver this person to Krishna. But because the devotee has that desire, therefore Krishna's desire or potency follows it, and they become empowered. And the person experiencing Krishna's energy through the devotee, that's what transparent medium means, then the person gets Krishna's mercy through that devotee. The devotee never thinks, it's my mercy. They may have the desire, which is also important, but because Krishna and Krishna's devotees, namely the Sipa succession, have that desire, and because the devotee has the same desire, therefore they work cooperatively, and the person becomes aware of Krishna's Shakti. And that's what changes the person's consciousness. hopefully, if the person has any desire at all, any receptivity towards Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when we have a little desire to chant very nicely, asking Krishna to engage in his service, and if we try to chant with a little feeling of love, it's not that we have to chant and roll on the ground a few times and pull up, you know, cry in ecstasy, and then Krishna says, well, that devotee seems a little serious now. I think my mercy will follow a little. No, actually, we just have to try and chant a little feelingly, which means enthusiastically, or Prabhupada translates, just like a baby crying for its mother. If we think, oh, there's no real need to chant Hare Krishna so feelingly today, everything's going pretty good for me. Prasadam is pretty good, and, you know, got a good night's sleep, and, you know, I'm feeling pretty good today. No big problem. Why, you know, what's the sense of complaining to Krishna today? It's been a pretty good day so far. The only problem left is I got to get my rounds done, so, you know. So let me just chant my rounds and somehow or another get them done. Won't complain to Krishna because more or less everything I wanted Krishna gave me. So that's not... As long as we feel like that, contented materially, then it's very hard to make any progress spiritually. That's probably the biggest enemy for a devotee, for spiritual advancement, when they think everything's more or less okay. Therefore, especially when someone's praising us and we start thinking, wow, I'm doing pretty good. Everything's going, everyone's seeing how I'm, you know, doing pretty good. I must be doing pretty good. Everything's going all right. And then we forget that actually I'm identified with this body and I'm going to die. At least the body is going to die. And I actually don't know where I'm going. It's not like, you know, I have on my agenda, after this body, we take, you know, 3 lifetimes in Brahmaloka, next lifetime Vaikuntha, and then after that we go to Goloka Vrindavan and I become a cowherd boy. We don't actually know where we're going. Therefore, we're actually not in such a good situation. Or at least we should think, we should understand what our real situation is as a spiritual soul with a completely different identity and activity than the material world. That if we understand that, that our real activity is simply loving service to Krishna, then we should try a little, at least, to engage in that service the best we can. Which means to utilize the body and mind and words. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna specifically, to try a little bit to chant with some, like a baby crying for its mother, Prabhupada says. That a baby crying for its mother, we may have forgotten what it's like, but I guess the mother is no more, they have more experience. But the baby is quite, you know, it's not like you can tell the baby, talk to him philosophically. You know, my dear baby, you know, it's not so bad. Your mother's coming in a few minutes and just, you know, calm down. No. The baby will not be satisfied until it actually gets its mother. Therefore, similarly, unless we're conscious of Krishna, if we're satisfied in any other state other than being conscious of Krishna, then Krishna won't be very disposed to reveal himself to us. But if we're in the mood that I can't be satisfied unless I actually get Krishna's association in love, then Krishna becomes very anxious to associate with us. So that feeling has to be there. Not that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, it's all right, my rounds are going, I'm getting my rounds done, you know, so things are going pretty good. No, actually we have to chant our rounds in such a way as that we're not satisfied until we actually get Krishna's association. And that means to remember Krishna's form at least. Or at least to chant very nicely. At least remember the instructions. If we remember the instructions of devotees, then we get their association. Of course we have to give them the credit too. That they're the devotees who gave me these instructions, not that all these instructions on how to nicely chant the holy name, they all came from me. So we also have to give the devotees credit. The biggest, as Kunti has explained, that generally all the problems in the world are due to social intercourse. which means social relationships. Someone, as I remember one time, it was Harinamananda. He was saying that he was on book distribution. He distributed like 900 big books that day. Maha big books. Got up early and went out and distributed a lot of books. And he was saying that his meditation was, when he was remembering the Panchatantra, how so many devotees had printed the books, so many devotees had translated the books, so many devotees had packed the books, so many arrangements were made, so he could simply come out here and allow the Panchatantra to distribute the books. So he was just grateful that he could watch the whole thing and for all the devotees who had assisted so the whole thing could go on. So similarly, we have to also have that appreciation, because otherwise things will come to our minds and we'll start thinking that, you know, by accident I'm here, or by my mercy I'm here. We'll think so many things, or we don't know why we're here. Maybe we shouldn't be here. So many crazy things will come through our minds. And so many, you know, relationships with so many persons will come to our minds, so many anxieties and hopes and things like that. But actually we should remember that, give some appreciation to the devotees who made all these arrangements for us so we can be here. And then try to remember what we're here for and the instructions that are given to us and how they apply practically, especially when we sit down, chant Hare Krishna, how we should actually try to chant and discard, become aloof from our minds during that time. Aloof from our minds, it means aloof from the materialistic mind, which is trying to distract us from our real business of just trying to chant very nicely. The idea is if we actually chant very nicely and chant, "My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Srimati Radharani, kindly engage me in your loving service." So we chant with some feeling, some love, asking Krishna to do that, then he says, "Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam." Then he'll actually reveal himself to us. Because only in their association, somehow or another, by revealing his form, his qualities, whatever else he may reveal to us, then we can actually experience what real love is. Because they're the embodiments of unlimited, transcendental love. Actual love. So then when we experience that, then we can actually experience what our love feels like. Just like, unless the sun is there, we can't really utilize our eyes very well. There may be some glow worms, we may see a little bit in the light of the glow worms, but only in the light of the full sun can we actually utilize our eyes fully. So only if Krishna becomes merciful to us, only if Krishna's devotees become merciful, can we actually experience what our natural feelings of love are. So when we feel that, then we become encouraged, because our process is bhakti. That's the goal of what we're doing. So if we try to give our love, then Krishna will reveal his form, his quality, his pastimes, and the result is that not only will we remember Krishna, but we'll see that the essence of everything he does, everything all his devotees are doing, are all in love. One, the yogis may meditate upon Krishna as Paramatma, but they don't experience any love. For the devotees, when they see Krishna's form, the form of his devotees, then that's what they remember. So these are different stages of progressive Krishna Smaran. But the essence is here. At first we hear about this philosophy, and one attains the stage of acceptance is called Varna Desha. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing Krishna Katha. So this is the stage we want to come to when we actually become attached to it. It becomes, at least we see it as something practical in our lives. That is something that we can apply, do something practical. And it actually gives a positive result. It actually makes my life better, and it gives me the understanding how to make other person's life better too. Then the Krishna consciousness, then we can actually become a preacher. Then we don't see how everyone can be engaged somehow or another in Krishna's service. or that they should be engaged in Krishna service at least. Then, when we practice doing that, and we just practice chanting better and better, then one comes to the stage of Smarana Dasha. And at that stage, then when we remember Krishna, it's ecstatic. We can actually feel transcendental ecstasy. And that's quite encouraging, because it's the very essence of what everyone's looking for, is pure transcendental pleasure. And then, as one sees, if we can become better and better, if the remembrance becomes uninterrupted, then the ecstasy just increases more. One is uninterruptedly in ecstasy. So that's the stage of bhava. Then, of course, one very happily gives up everything that's impeding one's remembrance of Krishna or steady experience of ecstasy. Everything else becomes just like a shadow or a dream. And then one can come to the stage of dharana, dhyana, anusmriti, where one is actually living in Krishna loka, Goloka Vrindavan. Even here. Because externally one looks out, one actually sees everything is non-different from Krishna, and at the same time one is completely absorbed in Krishna's pastimes internally. But still one acts as a sadhaka. One still follows the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, because we're Rupanugas, and he acts as a devotee, as a sadhaka, externally. But internally he's actually in Vrindavan. And then samadhi, and then sampati das, and then one's real life begins. So it's something to look forward to. We shouldn't think that this chanting of Hare Krishna, sitting down, trying to chant 16 rounds, trying to do our services, that this is something which is just like, you know, some routine, boring activity. But actually it's bringing us to back to Goloka Vrindavan, whether we know it or not. Just the fact that we're doing it, we're willing to do it, and if we're willing to do it with more and more understanding and intelligence, then we'll just get there so much quicker, that's all. Matter of fact, we have to do it with some understanding and intelligence, otherwise we may get discouraged and think it's not working. We have to do it in such a way as we actually become convinced, we see tangibly, that I'm actually making some progress. I'm becoming more and more enlightened and enlivened by the process. Then, by such enlivenment and enlightenment, then we can get to this goal of life very quickly. And even if we don't get to the goal of life immediately, just by that enlivenment and enlightenment, we'll become very much encouraged to take to the process more and more seriously. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. No, of course they have love. Without love, you can't make progress in anything. Because bhakti is the only thing that really drives people to do anything. Well, it depends who you're talking about. If you're talking about the yogis who are aspiring for mystic power, then, you know, it depends what... The main division is between the impersonalists, the asuras, and the devotees. Because the impersonalists, the asuras and the devotees. The asuras, when they hear about Krishna, they become very envious. And when the devotees hear about Krishna, they become happy. So that's the difference. The asuras, we don't give them very much credit. You know, in terms of love. But the devotees will give credit. So if they're a devotee, then they must, just like there are four kinds of pious persons who approach Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates with them. Even the demigod worshippers, if they're not impersonalists, if they understand that, you know, something in relation to Vishnu, that Vishnu is the one who's giving the benedictions, then Krishna says they get some credit. But other than that, Krishna doesn't give any credit. Those who deride Krishna, those who are against Krishna, or those who don't, you know, don't give Krishna any credit. Those who think when Krishna comes as Lord Krishna or as Lord Ramachandra, that they're just some ordinary persons. And just like Ravana or Kamsa, they try to kill Krishna. We don't give them any credit for love. They're just envious. You mean without being Krishna conscious?
Yeah, but even the illusion of love, for instance. The idea
of, like... No, love in the material world, because there are so many preachers who have come, whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Muhammad, they've infused within the society in general a feeling of devotion towards God. So that's there. Now, in terms of the animals, they also have some affection towards their cub. You know, obviously it's not a big philosophical thing. It's a feeling of affection towards their own children. So that's there because it's naturally there in the soul, some feeling of love and affection. But because it's so covered over, because they're, you know, therefore, as it says, Du mena vriyate vanir, itar darsho balena cha, itol vain avrita garvas, itatenatam avrita. As the mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, or as the fire is covered by smoke, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. So in the animal form of life or lower than that, practically the original love for Krishna is practically it's become very diminished. I mean, the cubs, sometimes they love their cubs, and sometimes they eat their cubs too. So it's not a very steady love. It's not very deep either. But in the human form of life, one has the opportunity to actually revive one's factual dormant love for Krishna. Otherwise, if we think anamaya, pranamaya, jnanamaya, or manamaya, vijnanamaya, it's really when we come up to anandamaya. If we start thinking about how the amoebas are actually in love with their things are engulfing, and how the animals love their cubs, and I also love my children, and this is pretty close to love for Krishna. It is, in one sense, probably the closest thing in the material world is a mother's love for her child. But still, we understand that compared to actual Krishna consciousness, that amount of love is quite small. When we actually become mad like the Goswamis running everywhere for Krishna, then we can say that our love has actually come to the proper position. But we do give credit. I mean, Prabhupada would sometimes give credit, and sometimes he blasts people. Depends on what the circumstances are.
Any person that they have no sense of.
Well, they love themselves. That's what. They don't. Obviously, they're not really concerned with anyone else besides themselves. They're trying to get away from everyone. So they don't have their attachment is only to themselves ultimately. And Krishna's effulgence. They love Krishna's effulgence. So indirectly, they love Krishna. Yes. The mind. No, we have a spiritual mind. So as soon as we go back to Goloka Vrindavan, then we'll have just be ourselves, our real selves. Everyone wants to be themselves, so then we'll just be ourselves. Here, the mind, when it's trained to become Krishna conscious, that's all it'll do is think about Krishna, that's all. In other words, once the mind becomes pure, then that's all we'll see is Krishna. So we have to simply take to the process and purify the mind. So we just have to be willing to do that. And if we will that, we desire like that, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it. And if we, with determination, we follow that process and develop our desire to do it, then gradually we'll come to that professional stage where the mind will be trained to just think about Krishna all the time. It's not really any different from what we're doing already. Just like you read a book or you watch a movie or something like that, then you can't help but remember it. What you just saw or what you just heard just goes through your mind. So similarly, if we hear about Krishna, then we can't forget Krishna. It just goes through our mind. We see the deities, then, you know, we can't help. You look at the deity for a few seconds and turn away, and you see the deity, because that's what you just saw and that's what you remember. So we just perform the activities of devotional service with devotion, with thinking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and then thinking about Krishna. Then the result is that we'll think about him some more. She's already helping us. Because as soon as we turn away from Krishna, then she kicks us. Tries to kick us back to Krishna. Well, Krishna will help us. Krishna will help. The Dhammi Buddhika. We give the credit to Krishna. Maya, she'll encourage us. She'll be very happy to see that we're becoming Krishna conscious. But it's Krishna who's going to give us the intelligence. Maya's business is not to give us the intelligence how to go back to Krishna. Or, of course, she may... It's Krishna who's in the heart. He'll give us the intelligence. And, I mean, if you're on the level of Haridas Thakura, you know, Maya becomes your disciple, then, you know, that's a different thing. But for us, I think we should probably take shelter and look to how to become Krishna conscious more from Krishna and from his representatives than from Maya. Yes?
What if the mind will get because Krishna says everything you do is not for me, and I will protect you from the reaction of sin, don't worry. And then we think maybe I can gamble, maybe I can eat meat, and do it as an offering to Krishna.
Yeah, but you have to find out what Krishna will accept, either from reading the books or from Krishna's representative. It's not that whatever you want to do and offer to Krishna, Krishna will accept. But Krishna has said what he will accept and what he won't accept. Therefore, you have to find out from Krishna's authorities. And if you think, well, there's no authority better than I am to find out what Krishna wants, I even know better than what Krishna wants. I don't even have to read his books to find out because I just naturally know exactly what Krishna wants. He wants what I want. Then you may have to learn from some experience that that might not be true. Yes?
How to understand that we are making some progress, because understanding that we are making some progress will give us more faith. At the same time, we have to see that we are not having the feeling of contentment.
We're making progress, but we're not having feeling of contentment. Well, then we're not making. What kind of progress are we making? Progress to what? Well, we're progressing. Krishna says, "Brahma Buddha Prasanatma." So one of the signs of progress is we become joyful, because that's what we want anyhow. Everything we're trying to find out, all knowledge means how to become joyful perpetually. So that's progress, how to become joyful perpetually. Or it's defined as how to see everything in relation to Krishna, or more in relation to Krishna, how to feel growing love for Krishna, and how to become detached from things that draw the mind away from Krishna. So this is the science of progress. And if those things aren't there, then what is our progress? If we're becoming more attached to the things that draw my mind away from Krishna, I'm remembering Krishna less, and my feeling of love for Krishna is diminishing, then we're progressing in the wrong direction. So we have to see. Chanting nicely means that I'm becoming aloof from all these crazy ideas that are going through my mind, and that I'm actually chanting more sweetly, remembering Krishna more sweetly, more lovingly, and I'm able to understand how everything is here connected to Krishna. That's nice progress. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Nectar of Instruction, Kijai, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai.